Boker Tov, it's a beautiful day here in Yerushalayim, and it's a great day to learn about tefillah. So these little tefillah chizuks are meant to strengthen your prayer, to give us more kavana, so we can bring the redemption a little bit closer in our personal lives, and bring our refuah shleimah to the whole world. So we are in our second prayer podcast. Today we're talking about the Avos, Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu, the God and the God of our forefathers, Okay, Abraham, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. So, I'll start off with a cute little story. When I was a little kid, I visited my cousins in a Reform temple. It was their bar mitzvah. I was 8 years old. And, I didn't really fit in. I was a frumy kid. I was having a long Shemona Esrei shaking, as is my custom. Everyone was staring at me. I'm davening with their prayer book, and it says, okay, Abraham, okay, Sarah. And the God of Sarah, okay, Yitzchak, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Rivka, and onward and so forth. This is what I think the conservative and the reform movement has changed, that they put the mothers in to be more inclusive. And it's beautiful, very sweet, but something about it, even then as a little kid, struck me as not correct, as not understanding the depth of what this prayer is trying to say. Because I don't think it's simply that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were the most awesome people ever, and therefore we should include the women also, because they were also awesome. Because there are a lot of great people in Jewish history. So why is it that, as the Gemara teaches it, us only Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are called the Avos, the fathers? So the Gemara, I think, is trying to say, and this is what the Kabbalists talk about, that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they became the Merkava. They became the chariot to bring God's presence down to the world, each one in a different trait. So when we talk about Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, we're not just talking about them as people, we're talking about emulating what they represented. Okay? And each one of them represented a different character trait that we are trying to remind ourselves that we need to emulate in our prayers. So, and each one did it in a unique way. Okay, so for example, we talk about Avraham, we're really talking about Chesed. He represents Chesed because he went out of his way to greet the guests, of course. He was a lover of God. He brought love of God into the universe by searching out God. And he also brought that love of people. The two are obviously interconnected. If you truly love God, you're also going to truly love people. As Rav Shlomo would always teach, if you love God but hate people, then you don't really love God. So you need to really, really be a lover of doing good for the world. And that's what Avraham was about. That's what we're meditating about. Yitzchak was willing to sacrifice his life for God. He represents Yirah Pachad, the awareness, putting God before you always. Shifti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, or judgment, Gevura. And Yaakov represents the harmony of the two, which is brought forth from his commitment to Torah. He was a big Torah scholar, always learning Torah and Ishtam, Yoshev O'alim, always sitting and learning Torah. And that is the way that we bring forth God's kindness in a balanced type of way. The Torah guides us to tell us, in this situation, I should be super kind. In another situation, I need to hold back a little bit. For example, if you have a family, then you need to know, okay, I want to do kind to the whole world, but I can't just let any random homeless drug addict into my house to sleep every night, even though that's a very kind thing to do, unless you have a very big house. But if he's going to be sleeping next to my daughter, it's going to be a problem. So you need to have the right balance between kindness and gvura, and learning Torah and keeping halacha, which is what Yaakov represents, gives us that balance. There's another idea that Yaakov represents, and that is the idea of commitment to God even during the dark times. So Yaakov's whole life is very hard and challenging, but he never gives up on God. He's always struggling with Hashem, not against Hashem. Right? Like symbolized by that lark, that dark night when he's running away from his brother Esav. But he is always with Hashem. He felt God's presence. There's a beautiful story about the Ruzhna Rebbe, where a student goes in to see the Rebbe and asks him for bracha, and the Rebbe gives him a bracha that Hashem's going to help you. And he comes out, and the Ruzhna Rebbe's son asks him, but what's going to be until Hashem helps you. So the student goes back to the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, what's going to be until Hashem helps me? The Rebbe says, Hashem will help you until Hashem helps you. Which is gewalt. The idea is that we have always have to walk around feeling like Hashem's helping us during the good times, during the darker times. That is the inyan of Hashem Echad. Everything is for the best, in our opinion. And that's what we remind ourselves of, and that's what Yaakov Avinu represents. So nothing against the Imaos, but we got to go. The exact wording of the prayers are exact and precise, and each has much significance and Kabbalistic meaning, and so we don't mess around and add extra things to the prayers given to us by the Anshei Knesset, those prophets, thousands of years ago. One last idea to take with you into your Shemona Esrei. Elokeinu ve'elokei avoteinu, the God and the God of our forefathers. So each one of the forefathers had his own unique pathway to God. That's why they each get their own Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, ve'elokei Yaakov. They had their own unique search for God. And that's why we also have to have our own unique pathway to God. Just like they found God in their own unique way, every one of us has our own unique pathway to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to find it. Maybe it's looking at the beautiful world. Maybe it's intellectual. Using the resources God has given us in our particular lives, He wants us to serve Him. And Maharal, 400 years ago, writes that the reason that the world is going to go off the path of Torah and mitzvot is so that we can come back to the path of Torah and mitzvot and find our own individual unique path. Not just the path of our forefathers, but our own unique path, and that's going to create the tubes to bring the spiritual energy for the Mashiach. One last idea I want to share, just because it was a cool moment for me. So I was reading through this prayer, and I was asking, why the for Yaakov? Why the end? Now, of course, the simple answer is because it's the last one, so obviously it makes sense that he'd be end. But I've been trained long enough to know that there still might be some symbolism, some significance. And I thought maybe the vav is a connector, and Yaakov represents Torah, and Torah brings the values of chesed and gvura in a balanced type of way. And then, as I was researching this little shir, I saw that idea in the Sefer Rokeach, Kabbalistic work over 400 years ago. Well, I know I read the idea before and I just forgot, but it seems like I was mischaven, which means I had the same idea that he had. And that's pretty cool that our traditions are so linked and I'm studying the same prayers that they were studying 400 years ago. And we both came up with the same idea. So we should have a day full of Torah study. That's what Chol HaMoed's all about. And by learning Torah, we join together. Hopefully, we put into practice a life of loving kindness, finding ways to give constantly in a still very aware of God and self-controlled type of way. Have a beautiful tefillah. If you enjoyed this little prayer podcast, let me know. Give me some encouragement and have a wonderful day.